You're listening to the Kids Ministry Collective Podcast. Each episode of the KMC is designed to inform, encourage, and entertain those who love kids and serving kids ministry. We hope you'll enjoy today's podcast and maybe even learn a thing or two. Now let's join our team for this episode of the KMC.
Welcome to another episode of the Kids Ministry Collective Podcast. My name's Tom Bump, and I'm your host. And we've got a fantastic episode for you today as we look at a new resource for you that are in serving in kids ministry. It's a book called What God Is Doing, and it's an object lesson book for kids that leaders can use. I imagine there's a lot of different uses, but Anne-Marie Gosnell is with me, and this is your first time on our podcast, so welcome to the KMC.
Thank you very much. I'm excited to get to do this today.
Yeah. So, Anne-Marie, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Okay. Well, I have a background in teaching. I have a degree in early childhood education with a master's of education with a focus on curriculum and instruction. So I spent a good 6 years in the teaching realm of schools, mainly Christian schools. And then I decided, I just have a love for curriculum and for writing. And so I took a new position when we were in the Baltimore area. And it was for an editor for an educational content company. Mm-hmm. And so I learned a lot about how to write lessons that are used in textbooks. And so from there, the Lord then took me into the realm of homeschooling. I had my son, and we started homeschooling. And then out of that, the Lord brought us to a church where I was able to teach the scriptures. I was able to take some of what I did in Christian school and apply it to It was actually our Awana program. Mm-hmm. We took the large group time from Awana, and I just kind of took that large group time under my wing. And so, the kids would come in and they'd have game time, they'd have book time, and then they'd have large group time, and I would develop my lessons for the large group time. And my husband kept talking to me about, we just heard really good things from other adults and from the kids. And he kept telling me, you just need to get your lessons out there for other people to use, because maybe perhaps someone in the world might, enjoy using them. Mm-hmm. And so that's where my blog, Future Flying Saucers, originated from.
I love the name.
Do you love the name?
I do.
It's so funny how that came about, because, when kids are little, they come up with all these kind of wonky things that they want to be when they grow up, right? Mm-hmm. So my son, I think he was about 3 or 4 years old, and he came to me one day and he said, Mama, when I grow up, I want to be a flying saucer. And, you look at the kid and you go, okay, yeah. And so when I was trying to find, we had this notebook that we keep in the kitchen where we write down all the funny things that our kids say and do. But then, important things like when they come to know Jesus and that type of thing, we put the stuff in this notebook.
Cool.
So when my husband said, you need to get your lessons out there, create this blog. And I was like, well, what am I going to call it? Because, everything's kind of already been taken, right? All the names and stuff. It's just, you want to stand out in the crowd. So we pulled out that notebook and we found that quote that we had written down from my son to be a flying saucer. And then we just started thinking about scripture, how, in Isaiah, we're told we want to mount up with wings like eagles. Mm-hmm. And just soar for the Lord. And so we kind of took that and the whole flying saucer thing and how we want to prepare our kids to be able to soar for Jesus and just be able to be lifted up over. It doesn't matter what hardships or what things are thrown their way, but they're able to stand firmly for the Lord no mm-hmm. matter what. And so, but it's in the future, you know, we're preparing our kids now for what the Lord wants to do for them in the future.
Right.
And so my son wanted to be a flying saucer. So future flying saucers just kind of came out of that. And that's where the name comes from. So, you know, my little tagline there is, you know, I'm equipping parents and teachers so they can help children fly for Jesus.
Awesome.
Yeah. So it's kind of fun.
And so this is actually, you know, this resource that we're going to talk about is actually your second book.
Right.
Give us a little bit, because give us a little bit of like a Reader's Digest synopsis of your first book, and then we'll get into what God is doing your second book. But tell us a little bit about that first book.
Okay, sure. Yeah. Like I said, all the lessons have been designed for this large group time that I did with Awana. And so at the beginning of every year, I say the Lord and I kind of sit down and we think about what I'm going to do for the year. And so one of the things that I had been through was I'd been through the Old Testament, I'd been through the New Testament, and I started thinking, you know, I really think where the kids were at our church right then, I really wanted to do some ethics and sanctification lessons with them. And so I kind of had like a skeleton plan that I found somewhere in some of the materials that I have here through wherever I kind of collect it from. And so my first book is called Walk This Way, and it's a collection of ethics and sanctification lessons where it takes different character traits and then it uses an event in scripture. And so every lesson has, you know, scripture, a scripture focus and a Bible lesson and an object lesson, but then it also applies it to life. So we have this scripture that we've learned about lying. So what does that have to do with us? And so my first book goes through that, and it really helps parents and teachers be able to help kids see that we really cannot have good Christian ethics if we aren't saved by the blood of Jesus.
Right.
And so every lesson I kind of point that. So yes, we want to not lie. Yes, we want to be a good friend. Yes, we want to do all of these things, but we can't in our own power. We have to have the power of Jesus in order to do those things. Mm-hmm. And so every lesson focuses on some point of or some part of the gospel message presentation. And so, you know, therefore, once you are saved, then, you know, Jesus can help you. And therefore, you go through the sanctification process that, you know, you're going to mess up, you're going to sin, you're not going to be perfect. But we try, and we try our hardest to do what the Lord wants us to do so we can please the Lord. And so that's kind of my first book. Walk This Way, Ethics and Sanctification Lessons for Kids. And then my book now that's recently come out, What God Is Doing, it's along similar lines, but it doesn't focus on the ethics and sanctification part. It comes, it focuses more on Old Testament.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that I have picked up upon, even just in conversations with adults, is that they know different Bible stories. I'm going to say Bible stories in air quotes.
Mm-hmm, right.
They know different Bible stories, but they don't know how they all hook together and how it all fits into the grand plan that the Lord has with the Bible. And, you know, you can have a conversation with someone and they won't understand that Abraham came before Moses, who came before Daniel, who came before, you know. And so it's like there's a timeline ignorance, if we want to use that word, the people that the Lord has used throughout history to bring about his grand plan of Jesus, the Messiah coming. And so one of the things that I wanted to do with my Awana kids, but then this book kind of came out of it, is that I wanted to show how God takes creation in the order of how things were you take creation and it's how you go through systematically the Old Testament and how you have Abraham being given his promise, right? And then you have the promise being handed down. And then all of a sudden we're in a kingdom, you know, and you have King David and King Saul. And then all of a sudden you have a divided kingdom, right? Mm-hmm. And how all of these different events in history, because they're events in history, they're not just stories, and how all these events bring about God's plan to bring about Jesus, but then it's not just, you know, Jesus coming. It's then you can do the same thing with the New Testament, which that's my next book.
I was just going to ask, is that in the works then too? Then?
Yeah, that's in the works. Yeah, I'm beginning all of that now. But I think our kids today live in a very Disney world, Harry Potter world, mm-hmm. Where, you know, everything is magic, everything's happily ever after. And then, you know, we tell these, here I'm going to use air quotes again, you know, these Bible stories at church, well, you know, they sound pretty fantastic, you know, and well, is God using magic, you know?
Right.
And I think we've got to, as Bible teachers, we have got to be very intentional with letting our kids know that, you know, well, first off, you know, God is real, mm-hmm. but then also that he is very much working throughout history, and that the Bible is a history book. And it's not just magic that the Red Sea parted. No, this is, you know, the God of the universe who created physics, you know, and he can part the water because he created it. He can make the sun stand still because he created it. He can make the sun move backwards because he created it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so our kids need to see that it is real, live God working throughout all the Old Testament, and the same God who was in the Old Testament is the same God who's in the New Testament, who is the same God who is God now.
Right.
So seeing that the Holy Spirit gave the power to the new church, and then all throughout the scriptures, we see the Holy Spirit working, and we can still have that Holy Spirit now not just work around us, but actually be in us, you know, that's pretty crazy and exciting and adventuresome. And I know that the kids that I teach, I want them to be so excited about living the adventure of Jesus that it's not going to matter what hard thing comes their way or what Satan throws or what the world tries to distract them with. They're going to be so excited to live for Jesus that none of that's going to matter.
Right. Right.
And so that's really my heart behind all of my resources that are on my blog is some of them are free and some of them are not, but I so much want to be able to equip parents and equip other Bible teachers to be able to teach kids in this manner.
Mm-hmm. And you hit on an important topic that we've talked a lot on this podcast before with other leaders is just how important it is, because, you know, while many people admit that Bible literacy is at an all-time low,
right,
we don't see that a lot of people are saying, well, here's some solutions to challenge that. Here's
right.
If we know it's a problem, then why aren't we attacking it full force,
right.
Especially because we know the enemy is out there indoctrinating our kids with all sorts of false ideas and misinformation and truth with a small t, not a capital T, as I say. And we have the capital T truth.
Right.
I do think sometimes, and you know, that we present God's word more as a Dr. Seuss fairy tale so that that kids often are confused of saying, well, this is just like Harry Potter or Narnia or whatever. It's mm-hmm. mystical. But it's not
right.
real.
Right.
How could it be real? How could fire come from heaven and swallow up sacrifices or how
yeah.
could the sun stand still for a day?
Right.
And all of those things, they just seem too mystical to be true. And
right.
And so I like how you framed it. And I like how even just the title of it, What God Is Doing, showing that he's still active.
Right, absolutely.
I do think that, you know, we almost feel like we're in the intertestamental times where God is silent, because mm-hmm. we do feel like sometimes he's silent in our culture, but it's just because the church isn't living in the power that we should be. We're too preoccupied with the world stuff that we're not focusing on the God stuff like we should. Mm-hmm. Anyway, that's a whole nother podcast that I could get into, and I would love to talk about some more. But I love the object lesson idea. It's something that I have an affinity to. I think it's because of, I'm glad to see more resources out there, because I know I was always having to create my own object mm-hmm. lessons for stuff. It's nice to see somebody else out there doing it and putting it into writing. I don't have all that gift, but I love creating the object lessons. And why did you choose an object lesson book? Why did you decide to go with object lessons?
Because Jesus uses them. That's the easy answer. mm-hmm. In some of the training that I had had, which I was extremely blessed to be able to go to Columbia International University here in Columbia, South Carolina. And I had a teacher there, a professor, who really showed me a love for teaching the scriptures. And one of the things that she impressed upon me was that we need to be teaching our students the way Jesus taught his disciples. Mm-hmm. And if you look through, you know, the New Testament, he uses object lessons all the time.
All the time,
look at the lilies of the field, you know, and let the little children come to me. Look at him. You know, we need to have the faith like a child. You know, I mean, he uses, object lessons all the time. Now, he did some preaching too, right? So he used a variety of methods.
Right.
And just the one that I personally have found that I enjoy and kind of have a knack for is the object lesson. And one of the things that I really like about object lessons is because it takes this tactile thing, you know, and kids, especially younger kids in the kindergarten, first grade, second grade age, they're very concrete thinkers.
Mm-hmm.
And if you think of concepts of, you know, ethics and sanctification, or the concept of, you know, God's attributes and that type of thing, it's kind of abstract. But when you take, you know, like in the first lesson of my What God Is Doing book, I take Scrabble tiles from the game, the letter tiles, mm-hmm. and I spell out the word creation. And you know, we talk about how, you know, we have a brain and we're able to spell out the letters and put them in the correct order, and we can spell out the word creation.
Uh-huh.
Well, then you take all of the tiles and you just kind of throw them up in the air and they land. Well, are they still going to spell the word creation?
No,
they're not. And so then I'm able to show the kids, you know, look, we're able to move them around. We have a brain. We have intellect. We are an intellectual designer. And we have to take chaos and put it into order. Mm-hmm. And that's what God does when he creates.
Yes.
You know, we're not just some world that's just been thrown out there and just expect it to work.
Uh-huh.
No, we have a world that's created by an intellectual designer who was God. And he created how water was made. And he created the land and the volcanoes. And he created the animals and the dinosaurs. He created it all.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, here I am. I took this little activity. It's very simple. And yet you can really tackle some really critical thinking skills with your kids.
Yeah.
Especially if they're getting, you know, like the older kids, my fourth, fifth, and sixth graders deal with science lessons, you know, that, you know, push evolution ideas and that type of thing. So you can really get them to start critically thinking about, you know, well, what does my science book say? And what does my Bible say? And which one do I believe, you know?
Right. Uh-huh.
And so that's That is a big reason why I just love using object lessons, because you can do this thing in front of them. Their eyes are seeing the evidence of whatever it is you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
But then you can start engaging their senses, their imagination, their critical thinking skills. Mm-hmm. And you can really get them thinking about, well, what really does the Bible say about creation? What does the Bible really say about the flood? What does the Bible really say? And let's really think about it. Excellent. And because all of the lessons that are in this book, they're in chronological order.
Mm-hmm.
And I love using timelines. And so when you're teaching the scriptures in the order that they took place, you're able to then say to, you know, if you have some odd lesson, you know, that's, you know, Abraham going to Egypt, you know, and lying about Sarah, you know, you can look at the timeline and say, okay, well, this was after Noah, but it was before Moses, and this is where it happened in history. And so now we're back to, okay, this was a real person in real time, really dealing with an Egyptian pharaoh, you know, that type of thing. And so when you're doing these lessons, you're engaging all of these different things. And I think it makes the Bible come alive.
Yes.
These are real people who really did these really cool things with God on their side. Or these are real people who really messed up badly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then they had consequences for it. And, so I love that I get emails from parents, and I get emails from teachers, and they just tell me how much they enjoy the conversations that they have with their kids when they've been using different lessons that I've created. And that just thrills my heart to be able to see that these families or these small groups at church or what have you, just to see that people are getting excited about the scriptures and getting a focus back on the Lord and just knowing truth, truth with a big T, like you mentioned.
Yes. Excellent. Excellent. So when you wrote this book, who did you kind of have in mind to use it?
Well, first and foremost, because I was the Awana large group leader, that was kind of who I had in my mind was, mm-hmm. well, if someone else was stuck with this job, how could I help them?
Yeah.
You know, it's a great job to be stuck with, but sometimes you're left going, what do I do? But from there, it kind of morphed. And I have to thank my readers at Future Flying Saucers for communicating to me how they've used my lessons, because you know, I'll have a certain audience in my head, but then someone will send me an email and I'm like, wow, I had never even thought about that before. And so I've had parents use these resources in their homes for homeschooling. I've had parents use these in their homes for family Bible times. I've had Christian school teachers use these for chapel services. I've had Sunday school teachers use them mm-hmm. for Sunday school, and I've had kidmin leaders use them for Awana and large group times, children's church. And then I had someone who sent me an email the other day and said that they were so excited to get the What God Is Doing because they had just finished up the ethics book that I had done. And we have something, I don't know if y'all have it in your area, but we have something called time release with our public school system.
Oh, uh-huh, uh-huh.
Yeah, and so they were using my lessons weekly with these high school kids doing the time release. And I just blew my mind away. I've had people use it for American Heritage girls. And so I just appreciate the creativity that my readers are just, they're just finding different ways to use them. And it really blesses me to see them do that.
It is awesome when we see God taking it even bigger and wider than we could have ever imagined. But he put that seed in our mind of, hey, I need to do this. And then, you know, it goes even bigger.
Yeah.
I love it. I love it when we see that. So describe a little bit of the format for somebody that if they're wondering, well, how's it set up and is it complicated? Is there a lot of things I have to gather? Tell us a little bit about, you know, what kind of things do you do in the book?
Okay, sure.
And I've got it in front of me and I can see it's not complicated. I will say that right off the bat.
Okay.
So, you know.
Yeah, well, you know, I am busy. I'm a busy person. I'm a mom and I homeschool. And so when I start doing my lessons, I'm like, I can't go just drop everything and go to the store and buy special items for things. And so all of the lessons that I create, almost all of them are using items you can pick up around your house. Mm-hmm. And if there's something that I just thought was really cool, really neat, or then I'll just say, you know, head to the store and pick this up, or, you know, get something a little bit different, or this is what I found to use. Each lesson has a materials list and tells you exactly what to get. There's a scripture focus of specific scriptures of where the lesson will come from. Mm-hmm. And because these are the Old Testament lessons, now my ethics and sanctification book doesn't have a geography section, but for this one, I did that because I think we need to highlight that these are real people in real places.
Yeah.
And even in some of the extra resources I have found, the one that I'm thinking of is for the lesson on Jericho. I found this really neat video where you can go and see the archaeologists showing the walls. They've excavated them and you can see how they fell out, you know, and then think about, you know, you're doing this lesson with your kids. You watch this video and you can talk about how the Israelites had surrounded Jericho. And in scripture, it says that when the walls fell, the Israelites then ran into the town, and you can picture them running into Jericho like ants going up an anthill. Uh-huh. And just think of all these people just running into the town. I mean, it's just cool stuff like that. You know, we just need to make it real for our kids.
Yes.
And then I have a background section that just kind of sets the stage because, you know, here again, we're going systematically through the Old Testament. Everything hooks into everything else. Mm-hmm. And so there's a background section. And then you move to the object lesson. And I just kind of tell you what to do. I even give you possible answers that the kids might give. And then you have the object lesson, the Bible lesson. And then at the end, there's a life application section, which is very important. We always want to make sure that the kids understand, what does this have to do with them? Why should they even care about Moses getting the Ten Commandments or Joshua wrestling this man? You know, we want them to understand why that's important to them. So there's a life application section. And then at the end of each lesson, people might think this is kind of weird, but I put in a comment box. And one of the things that I think we as Bible teachers sometimes don't do is do something I call a retrospective. You got to think about what went well and what didn't work. What could you change later? And so there's a section here after each lesson for you to just kind of think about how your lesson went and write down the things you learned and what worked and what didn't. And then at the end, I have a bonus tip or a bonus resource or that type of thing. And so that's pretty much how every lesson is laid out. Oh, and in the back, just for fun, there's some coloring sheets that go with each lesson that has the main scripture on it. So if you wanted to do like scripture memorization or you could even take each of the posters for each lesson and you could create a timeline in the classroom or in your Bible room.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, it makes a timeline. And so then if you go and teach other you have other Old Testament lessons that you start teaching your kids, then you can look, you've got this whole timeline up on your wall. And you say, okay, now this happened after Moses, and you can point to where it takes place. So that's kind of how it's laid out. It's a lot of fun. I had a lot of fun teaching all of the lessons I've taught myself. to kids. And so I kind of figured out what works and what doesn't work even before it's put in the book.
So it's been kid tested.
It's kid tested, field tested, teacher approved.
Awesome. Hey, I love that. You know, I just love how, you know, you've thought it through. And I like that. I think we as leaders always should be working to improve ourselves. And if we're not asking how things went, if we're not asking questions about, you know, the effectiveness of the lesson, did it connect well? Did the kids mm-hmm. get the lesson? Mm-hmm. Can they remember the lesson? You know, because if we're not making things memorable, then they walk out of the room, you know, and we're competing with a video game, social media world.
Right.
We need to work hard at being excellent in what we do.
Right.
And giving them something to hang on to remember, so that, like you said, when the challenges come, they have something to stand on, mm-hmm. that they know their God is active and moving amongst them, still working with them. And that same God who walked with Joshua around the walls, who stood with David in the face of the giant, who was with mm-hmm. Joseph, you know, through the famines and running from Potiphar's wife, and then through the people that even failed and right. messed up, David when he messed up, and I mean, you know, Adam and Eve when they messed up, God didn't stop loving them, and right. I think it's important that we help kids grab on to these truths because they need it, and so yeah. I got to say, well done. I was very impressed. I got my copy the other day, it's a really well done book. It's easy. It's well organized. I want to encourage our listeners to definitely check it out, especially, you know, if you're a homeschooling family and you're looking for something, you know, even as parents, if you're looking for something that you want to help connect your kids to God's word and do it as a family, this is a great thing as a dad, that you as a dad could win, because you could take a few minutes, you know, get this stuff set up before you leave for work, come home, and then gather the family around and have some fun together.
Yes.
And because, I mean, you've got some cool, you know, I mean, hey, anytime you can get vinegar and baking soda and make a, you know, a mess. You know, what dad doesn't want to get in there with his kids and make a mess with them, but also to bring some truth of God's word. So,
yes.
I can definitely see this as a resource that if you're a kids ministry leader and you want to give it as a gift to families, it would be a great book to give into the parents' hands. If you're teaching at a Christian school or a homeschool, this would be a great resource to use and incorporate into your lesson plans with your kids. You know, Awana, like I say, any kind of midweek program, extra Bible club program, like the release time stuff. Mm-hmm. Those are all great ways to utilize a resource like this. So thank you for putting this out. I know it was a lot of work. You know, I can only imagine because I know what it takes when I write a lesson and put together an object lesson and think it through and practice it and rehearse it and tweak it and all that. It's time consuming, but you've saved us the time and put it all together. So how can people connect up with you? And obviously follow your blog and also where can they get this book and the other book?
Okay. Well, my blog again is Future Flying Saucers, and you can find at the top of the menu, there's a little thing that you could click on that says Walk This Way for my Ethics and Sanctification book, and that gives you all the information that you need and how you can get it. And then there's also another little button you can push that says What God Is Doing book, and you can click on that, and it takes you to all the options on how you can get the book. It is offered, both of them are on Amazon. If you've got Amazon Prime, that's a great way to get some free shipping and get it in 2 days.
There you go.
So I also have a Facebook group. I have a Facebook page, which is Future Flying Saucers. But then you can also look for my Facebook group, which is Bible Lessons for Kids. And we have a lot of fun in there, and I'm able to get in there and chit chat with people, and we share Bible lesson ideas and what works, what doesn't work. We even celebrate birthdays and have some giveaways and stuff like that. So we have a lot of fun in that group, and I welcome anybody who would love to come and join us.
Excellent. And,
so that's where I am.
Well, great. Well, thanks for making time for us, and we really appreciate it. We'll definitely have to get you back on and talk about some other topics, because we always love to have more people joining the Kid Ministry Collective community, and because that's what makes us better, and like we always say, is iron sharpens iron, that's our goal, is to build the community. It's not about me. It's not about any one person in our collective. It's about all of us working together to build the kingdom, and it's nice when we can share resources like this, so that we can help each other out and strengthen the message. So yes. Thanks for being on the episode with me today.
Thank you. It was fun. Thank you.
You've been listening to the Kid Ministry Collective podcast. We hope you've been informed, encouraged, and entertained for these few moments. We'd love for you to connect with us on our Kid Ministry Collective Facebook group or subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. It'd also mean a lot if you'd leave a review so we can help others learn about this podcast. If you want, you can watch this episode on video on our Kids Ministry Collective YouTube page. Our goal of the KMC is from Proverbs 27:17, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Join us again soon for another KMC podcast.